الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت، والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has created us for the hereafter. This world is a transit. We will spend a fixed portion of our time in this world, and sooner or later, sooner rather than later, a day is to come when we will depart from this world and go into the everlasting life, the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam have declared that the intelligent and clever person is he who utilizes every moment of this temporary life and make preparations for the everlasting life. This worldly life is temporary, the everlasting life is permanent. The life hereafter is permanent. So this worldly life is temporary, the life hereafter is everlasting and permanent. And one can only make preparations for the everlasting life in this temporary life. If a person desires to make preparations in the grave, he will not be able to do. If a person desires to make preparation for the everlasting life on the day of Qiyamah, he will not be able to do. If a person desires to make preparations for the everlasting life on the Pul Sirat or in the fire of Jahannam, that okay, I am thrown in the fire of Jahannam, I will make preparation here in Jahannam, and after 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 3,000 years, eventually I will enter Jannah. No. لا دار للمرء بعد الموت يسكنها إلا التي كانت قبل الموت يبنيها. The only house a person will be able to reside in the hereafter is that house which he constructs whilst he is in this world. La dara lil mar'i. There is no house for a person. بعد الموت يسكنها. There is no house for a person after death in which he is able to reside. إلا التي كانت قبل الموت يبنيها. Except for that house which he constructs in this very world before dying. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi says this. These are his couplets. لا دار للمرء بعد الموت يسكنها إلا التي كانت قبل الموت يبنيها فإن بناها بخير طاب مسكنه وإن بناها بشر خاب بانيها فإن بناها بخير طاب مسكنه. If he constructs that home of the hereafter through أعمال of خير, good أعمال, goodness, طاب مسكنه. His house will be very nice, very pure, very beautiful, very comfortable, very valuable. فَإِن بَنَاهَا بِشَرٍ خَابَ بَانِيهَا. And if a person constructs this house of the hereafter through shar, evil, a'mal of shar, evil, khaba baniha, then the one who constructs will be a loser in the hereafter. Because he will construct his home in Jahannam, not Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world for a temporary fixed period of time. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرْ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. We will not live in this world forever and ever. 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years. A day will come when we will have to depart from here and we will leave everything behind. Nothing will go with us except our a'mal. يتبع الميت ثلاثة فيرجع منه اثنان ويبقى ما هو واحد. Our problem is we do not study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the lives of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, the lives of the pious people, the lives of the people of the hereafter, those people who spend every second in acquiring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and high status in the hereafter, the people of the hereafter. We do not study the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So the culture in our friend circle, culture in our homes, culture in our workplace, culture in our weddings, culture in our funerals, culture in every aspect of our lives is based on material. We can only think from that perspective. We cannot think from the other perspective. I don't have to perform 2 rakat nafla after Dhuhr Salat. So, I will omit 2 rakat nafla and I will do something else instead in those 3 minutes. This is the way we think. It's not compulsory, it's not necessary, it's nafla, optional. An optional salat, you do not have to perform. So I will not perform. What will you do? I want to read a novel. So I'll start reading the novel 3 minutes earlier. I'll give these 3 minutes to reading the novel. I want to read a newspaper. My friends are waiting for me outside. So I will give these 3 minutes to my friend circle. Rijalud dunya, the people of the world. That's how they think. And Rijalul akhirah, the people of the hereafter. Their way of thinking is different. 2 rakat nafla is not compulsory. But Allah has sent me into this world to prepare for the life hereafter. If I perform 2 rakat nafla, I will make these 3 minutes of my life valuable. I do not want to waste these 3 minutes. And not only should I perform 2 rakat nafla, I am free for 6 minutes, so I will perform 2 rakat nafla and another 2 rakat nafla. Right from childhood, because the environments in our homes are not religious. Let's be honest. Even those homes or those individuals who are classed as religious in our society, in reality, majority of the people are not religious. They think they are religious. People think that so and so is religious. No. We are always looking for scapegoats. How many of us actually incline towards those things which are not compulsory in Sharia, but we want to because it will bring us nearer and nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will elevate my status in the hereafter. Today, my friends, we are able to understand the value of 1 pound. If a 1 pound coin falls from our hands, from our pockets, we will start looking for it. We will start searching for it. Even wealthy people. Because we understand the value of this 1 pound. We do not understand the value of 2 rakat. We do not understand the value of one small sunnah. Small, easy sunnah. No sunnah is small. No sunnah is insignificant. But small means the easy sunnah. Small meaning easy, where a person does not have to exert any effort or go through any inconvenience. No value. A person who practices one sunnah which takes only 5 seconds. When he sneezes, he says Alhamdulillah. 5 seconds. The person who hears him say Alhamdulillah after sneezing, he says Yarhamukallah. 5 seconds. Alhamdulillah. 5 seconds. Yarhamukallah. 5 seconds. Yahdikumullahu wa yuslihu balakum. The first person again says Yahdikumullahu. 10 seconds. What you did in these 5 seconds and 10 seconds is worth more than this world and whatever it contains. We will only be able to understand how much loss we have made in this world when we go into the next life, where the currency will be our a'mal. And the people of the hereafter, Allahu Akbar, Uwais Qarni rahimahullahu ta'ala. Uwais Qarni rahimahullahu ta'ala. One day he will get up after Isha, maybe sleep of a few hours, and then get up and he will say that this night is the night of Qiyam. Allahu Akbar. Thana, Ta'awwud, Tasmiyah, Suratul Fatiha, and he will start reciting the Quran. And he will continue reciting the Quran until just before dawn. Whole rakat in Qiyam. Whole night in Qiyam. And just before dawn, 5 minutes before dawn, he will say Allahu Akbar, go into ruku and very quickly perform, complete the 2 rakat. The second night he will say, this night is for ruku. Allahu Akbar, Sana, Ta'awuz, Tasmiya, Al-Fatiha, and a small portion from the Quran, Allahu Akbar. And he would remain in ruku until just before dawn. The third night he will say, this night is the night of sajda. Allahu Akbar, Sana, Ta'awuz, Tasmiya, Fatiha, small portion from the Quran, Ruku, Qawma, Sajda, and he would remain in Sajda until just before dawn. Fourth night, he will say, night for Qiyam again. And this cycle continued throughout his life. And at the end of the 2 rakat, he would say, Ya Rabb, ma'abattuka haqqa ibadatik. Oh Allah, I could not worship you as you were worthy of my worship. And we come running into the masjid in the last minute. Perform fard. Sometimes sunnah, sometimes no sunnah, sometimes sunnah and nafal, sometimes no nafal. And during salah, our mind wanders here and there, and despite that we feel very proud of ourselves. They would do so much, but would say, مَا عَبَدْتُكَ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِكَ قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ The muttaqeen will be in gardens of paradise. The muttaqeen will be in fountains. How does a person become muttaqi? كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ وَبِالْأَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ By doing this, they would sleep very little during the night. But at the time of suhoor, at the time of subha sadiq, at the time of dawn, they would make istighfar. Who would make istighfar? The person who feels proud that yes, throughout the night I have worshipped my Lord? No. That person who will feel guilty. That person who will feel remorseful. I was unable to fulfill the rights of my Creator. He will say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Imam Amish rahimahullah ta'ala, for 70 years, Imam Amish rahimahullah ta'ala did not miss Takbir-e-Ula. For 70 years continuously he performed his fard salat with jamaat, beginning the salat with the takbir of the imam. 70 years. Not easy. A person is at home, a person is traveling, his family is sick, he himself is sick. And 70 years, so he must have been a young man, middle-aged man, old man. 70 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world not to enjoy this life, to make preparation for the life hereafter. Yes, he has made certain enjoyable things permissible for us so that we don't get bored here, so that deen does not become burden for us. But that has become our objectives. That has become our objective in life. enjoyment. Iyyaka wattana'un. Stay away from enjoyments. فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُوا بِالْمُتَنَعِّمِينَ. Because the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not engross in enjoyments. Yes, sometimes, okay. Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha says that never did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family ate to their full from chapati made of wheat for 3 days continuously in their lives. One day, 2 days, never third day. And why was it? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was compelled? No. His faqr, his poverty was ikhtiyari. His poverty was ikhtiyari. Voluntary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him choice between wealth and poverty. He said, I would love poverty. He said, "Oh Jibreel, tell my creator that I want a life where I am able to fill my belly one day so I am able to be grateful to him, show him gratitude. And I would like to remain hungry the following day so I am able to exercise patience. Shukra sabra. That is the type of life I want." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Let us, my friends, make a firm resolution that the outlook will change from today, inshallah. Maqsad, objective will not be worldly comforts. Prime objective will be the comfort of the hereafter. Comfort at the time of death. Comfort in the grave. Comfort on the day of qiyamah. Comfort on the pulsirat. Comfort in Jannatul Firdaus. Comfort of the hereafter. In order to acquire this, the comfort of the hereafter, we have to engage in good amal. Preparation for the hereafter. Good amal. And stay away from evil. Stay away from wrong. Stay away from anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to do as much as possible what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is mujahada, sacrifice, struggle, striving. Two stages. Stage number one, to stay away from anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, come what may, even if I have to give my life. I will abstain from everything and anything that brings the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first stage. Second stage, I will try my utmost to do those things as much as possible, those things which bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First stage covers faraid, wajibat, haram, makruh, tahrimi. Because Allah becomes unhappy. And the second stage covers sunan, mustahabbat, adab, nawafil. Because these things make Allah happy. Preparation for the life hereafter. Let us prepare for the life hereafter. Because it is for this reason Allah has created us. And in order to make preparation for the life hereafter, one has to control his base desire. Nafs, base desire. The base desire will want the enjoyment of sleep at the time of Fajr. Don't let it do that. Mujahada, sacrifice, strive, effort, struggle, and come out of bed. The base desire will want to enjoy the gaze at a non-mahram lady, and for ladies, at a non-mahram man. Mujahada, struggle, effort, striving to make sure that we abstain from all these unlawful enjoyments. Mujahada. For mujahada, you need to be able to control your nafs. And it is upon this, controlling your nafs, swallowing this bitter pill, that Allah becomes happy. The more bitter the pill, the more greater the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more bitter the pill, the more closer you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more bitter the pill, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates your status. So if a person comes to the masjid with a firm resolution that I will perform 4 rakat fardh isha, thereafter I will perform 2 rakat sunnat, thereafter I will also perform 3 rakat witr, wajib, because it is compulsory, all these things I have to, if I don't, I will be punished. And he does this. He is swallowing a bitter pill. Alhamdulillah. But another person comes and he says, no, I will swallow even greater bitter pill by performing 4 rakat sunnah ghair muakkada, thereafter 4 rakat fard, thereafter 2 rakat sunnah, 2 rakat nafl, 3 rakat witr. More elevation in his status. He will come more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will become more happier with him. Swallow this bitter pill. The person who continually swallows this bitter pill, he abstains from everything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He carries out everything that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this bitter pill becomes sweet pill. That same bitter pill will become sweet pill. Then a person will enjoy abstaining from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person will enjoy fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So number one, Allah has created us and sent us into this world for temporary time to prepare for the life hereafter. So we must prepare for the life hereafter. Number two, how can we prepare for the life hereafter? By controlling our base desire. Mujahada. Mujahada. Exerting effort, striving, struggling, giving sacrifice. For what? For carrying out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In making sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not become unhappy. In making sure that Allah becomes happy. When a person is able to do this, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is classed as a clever person. Clever person. When Allah says you are clever, then you must be clever. Allah says, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut. The clever one is he who controls his base desire and prepares for the life hereafter. Now, final question. How can we make controlling the base desire easy? By doing 3 things. Number one, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tongue. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم 100 times each, 200 times each, 300 times each, whilst walking, whilst sitting, whilst lying down. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب. The clever people, the people of intellect, who are they? الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم. Those who remember Allah سبحانه وتعالى in standing position, in sitting position, in lying position. Dhikr of the tongue, dhikr of the heart and mind. My Allah is watching me. My Allah is watching me. I am being watched. My Allah is watching me. My Allah is watching me. My Allah is feeding me. My Allah is quenching my thirst. My Allah is clothing me. It is my Allah who has granted me the ne'mat of these eyes. It is my Allah who has granted me the ne'mat of these ears. Allah, remembering Allah all the time. Remembering Allah through certain formulas taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Remembering Allah through the heart and mind by thinking that Allah is watching me. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His favors. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through what you see around you, the mountains, the sea, the sun, the stars, the moon. So many things. وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. There is sign in each and every object in this world for the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tera aina alame rangubu hai, jidhar dekhta hoon udhar tu hi tu hai. This whole world reminds us of the Creator. The creation reminds us of the Creator. Whenever you see a beautiful building, what do you say? Who was your architect? Which architect designed this building? The creation always reminds you of the Creator. But we do not look at the trees, the leaves, the flowers, the mountains, the sea, the rivers, the stars with that perspective. That, oh, how great, oh, how great, oh, how great, how beautiful. Our base desire has been left loose. So anything we do is to satiate our base desire, to fulfill the desires of the nafs, not to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So preparation of the hereafter is only possible if we are able to control our base desire, if we are able to control our nafs. And controlling the nafs, it's not automatic. You will have to exert effort, mujahada. But mujahada will become a little easier if we do number one, dhikrullah. Dhikr of the tongue, dhikr of the heart and mind. My Allah is watching me. You are being watched. When a person is driving on the motorway and he loves driving with high speed, very difficult to control his nafs. But as soon as he sees the sign of the camera, you are being watched, immediately he will be able to control his desire. Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma was once traveling. He came across a shepherd who was grazing goats. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. He said, will you sell me one goat? He wanted to test his trustworthiness. Will you sell me one goat? If you sell me one goat, you will fulfill our need and you will make some profit for yourself. And if your owner and the owner of these goats ask you that where is the missing goat, there is one goat missing, you tell him that a wolf has gone off with one goat. It's not difficult, very easy. But his heart and mind was full of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ. He said, if I lie to my master, then where is Allah? Is Allah not watching me? Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mujahada easy, makes carrying out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala easy, makes controlling the base desire easy. Number two, good company. Abstaining from wrong company and staying in good company. That also makes mujahada easy. When we are in this good environment, the environment of the masjid, when everybody performs Salatul Isha, it will become so easy for us to perform Salatul Isha. And if you were at home, to perform Salatul Isha would have become very difficult. Good environment. When a person is in wrong environment, evil environment, with the wrong company, then doing wrong becomes easy. And carrying out good becomes difficult. Abstaining from wrong becomes difficult. And when a person is in good environment, good company, good mahol, good place, then carrying out good becomes easy. Abstaining from wrong becomes easy. So good company. And number three, remembering the hereafter. Remembering that one day I will die. Remembering that one day I will be put in the grave. And whatever I am doing, I will be either rewarded if it is good or punished if it is bad. I will be on my own in the grave. Nobody will come with me. On the day of Qiyamah, I will be resurrected. For my evil, I will be punished. For my good, I will be rewarded. Time of reckoning. I will be granted the book of deeds in my right hand for doing good. And if I have done more evil, my book of deeds will be given to me in my left hand. Pul Sirat, falling in the depth of Jahannam. Remembering the hereafter, going to the graveyard and observing the graves. One day I will also find myself in this graveyard. So three things make mujahada and controlling the base desire easy. Number one, dhikrullah. Number one, good company, good environment. And number three, the hereafter. Let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will carry out these advices from today. There is no better time in life to prepare for the hereafter, to turn a new leaf, to make a U-turn than these months. Rajab, Shaban, Ramadan. From today, make a firm resolution that inshallah we will control our base desires. We will not do anything that makes Allah unhappy. We will try to do as much as possible what makes Allah happy. And we will spend every moment of our lives in doing good, in making Allah happy. We will not spend a single moment in making Allah unhappy. And we will make this year's Ramadan a memorable one. And from today, not from Ramadan, not from the first of Ramadan, from today, from now, we will control our base desires. We will not do anything that makes Allah unhappy. And if we sleep, and if we do carry out something that makes Allah unhappy, we will immediately repent and restart again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi. سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا مسرف القلوب سرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.